You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
And we'll get to some Tiger stuff. Brad Holmes has, I'd be love to hear from him, the GM of the Detroit Lions. Scott Harris, president of baseball ops, did speak today. We'll play some of what he had to say regarding the future of the Tigers. In the 1 o'clock hour, I'm also going to make a prediction. Okay?
All right.
I'm going to predict that at 1 o'clock, we will get the answer to the question that I am asked more than any other. I'm predicting that today at 1 o'clock, we will get the answer to that question, which is, what time is the Michigan-Michigan State game? The release of start times, 13 days out or 12 days out, is today. There are some six-day holds which could be in play here. But we expect to find out. I expect that we find out today at 1 o'clock.
Noon. 3:30, possibly 4, or 7:30, 7 o'clock, one of those.
How many night games has Michigan State played?
Too many.
Do you think they make them go back-to-back?
I sure hope not.
I don't think there's any restrictions anymore. There used to be all kinds of night game rules, but 248-539-9797. Would that be, that'd be three straight night games, right? Or is it, was Ohio State a night game? That'd be four straight night games, right? Ohio State, Oregon, Iowa this week, then Michigan.
If
it gets announced. If it gets announced.
Yeah, and they started off the season with a night game.
Mm-hmm.
Was Boston College at night?
Yeah. Yep.
Stop!
Let's get back to your open line calls. Bill is in Madison Heights and on 97.1 a ticket. Hi, Bill.
Hi, guys. How you doing? Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, yep, go ahead, Bill. You.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Stephen Kwan just got a blue base hit in the left field. God, he was annoying.
Yep.
But I just wanted to talk about the Tigers for a second. Props to them. I mean, even, I know they were up 2-1, but, Cleveland's a good team. I mean, in the end, they got beat by the better team. And, but they fought even when they got behind in those games. They tried to come back. And, they've got, probably some other people have said now, they've got the core. The core is there. And I think Bregman would be a good fit. I don't know if he won't be cheap, but I think he'd be cheaper than Alonzo, and there might be a hinge factor where he takes a little less. So that's something I'm looking for. And a champ and chump. I want a champ of Lee McNeil because he just 2 sacks, control the line of scrimmage. But I'm going to also chump Ali McNeil's knee for being at the place at the wrong time.
It's pretty crazy that exact same scenario with Hutch and McNeil meeting at the quarterback and Hutch's leg whipping around. Last year he hit McNeil in the knee and knocked McNeil out for some time. And this year it ends Hutch's season. It's amazing.
Yeah, someone's got to do something about Ali McNeil's knee behavior.
His knee's out of control. 248-539-9797. Bob on a cell, you're next. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Coming back from Nashville.
Okay, cool.
I wanted to shout out for Jake Bates.
Mm-hmm.
I think he kind of got overlooked with all the other things that were happening yesterday. He made all of his field goals. So at least one was over 50 yards, I think. And even the extra points were set back an extra 15 yards, at least one of them, because of a penalty. But I think he's really becoming a reliable guy. And with I don't think we're going to be blowing out Minnesota this coming weekend. He could be a valuable, valuable guy going into that Vikings game.
He could be. Along of 48, nailed all 4 of his kicks yesterday. And he's got a great leg, and at some point, it's going to be counted on in a
there's going to be a pressure kick that coming up at some point here, one would imagine. And and he tucks, he tucks a few of those just inside the post, but they go through.
Yeah. One more thing. Do you guys think the Lions left Jared Goff in a little longer than they should have yesterday?
Maybe a series. I mean, look, I was ready to, I said it at halftime. The goal of this game is to get out of it healthy, because they were so in command and they were clowning on Dallas. And then it's like, all right, on to the next one. And the next one's a huge one with Minnesota. Obviously, they didn't. And when Goff was like flushed out of the pocket, I was like, just go down, man. Just take a knee. Just slide, please, now. But yeah, I mean, look, you also have to keep playing. 248-539-9797. DJ in Detroit, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, DJ.
What up, though?
DJ.
Hey, man. All good?
Yeah, great.
No, I wasn't calling today because it's bittersweet, man. I wasn't even going to call until I heard the Istanbul reference. And then after that, I said, you know what? Hey, let me go ahead and call it. And then after that, I got another one for you, Doug.
Yeah.
You got to stay consistent, my man. Now, when I heard that one call about school and the 2 days rest and the Cleveland Gator kind of got on, like, with the nonsense, you got to stay consistent, Doug. You know what I was waiting for? I was waiting for, thanks for the call. See, that was the perfect time when you were supposed to be. You got to stay consistent with that now. You were supposed to hit him with the, thanks for the call.
Yeah, well, we could have.
I was waiting for it.
I don't know if people can hear the eye roll on the radio, though. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Absolutely you can. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, bless
your heart. Though, man, this is really bittersweet, man. And I'm saying this because I'm not selfishly, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, Super Bowl for the Lions, forget that. Selfishly, it's bittersweet because Hutch is a good dude, man. Like, he a homegrown kid. You know what I mean? We watch him. It's videos of him in the community. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel bad for him. He was just starting to hit his peak, man. Like, you could see it. He was mastering his pass rush moves. So, I feel bad for that dude. The champ of the week, you guys know how I call in consistently, O-line. Tom Brady gave Penei Sewell an award yesterday. The national media, Shannon, and all those guys are starting to give our O-line the just due that they really deserve.
Yep.
Also, Brad Holmes, guys. Because Brad Holmes, dude, we all love him. But when you think about it, Kirby Joseph set a record or did something yesterday that hasn't been done since forever. That's tying the great Ed Reed with first four seasons with four interceptions. Like, all these guys that are playing for us, it's Brad Holmes. Like, he has really loaded us up, man. And
absolutely.
Hey, one more thing, Dungay, before I go. This is a stretch, but it's looking this way. I really think they're going to cut James Houston, man. With the inactives, I read an article in the Free Press. He got overtaken by an undrafted guy. I actually think they pretty much getting through with him. I hope not, but I think that's what is trending that way.
Well, keep in mind, he was a very late draft pick too, but he had that great rookie season. I just hope that something clicks with him and he's able to resurrect his career, because it's going in the wrong direction. Being inactive again, it's back like to his rookie season when he was inactive for the first, you know, 8 or 9 games of the season.
And DJ, thank you for the phone call. It really is giving off Quentin Berry vibes, in that we can't figure it out, but their behavior, the Lions, the way he is being used, it's like, they're like, no, this isn't the answer.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Sir, guys.
I've actually thought that for a while now, but I don't want to say it because I don't want to think negative thoughts. And it was a great story, and I wanted him to still help this team out. But since DJ already put it out there, yeah, I honestly don't think James Houston is going to be. He's going to be one of those trivia questions for Detroit sports. You know, remember who was that guy who had like 8 sacks in 7 games, and it was like, James Houston, and. I mean, actions speak louder than words, and the Lions don't make him active, and when he is active, he plays very few snaps, and then he might have a penalty. I mean, it's not good for James Houston.
I think this is a big week of practice for him. He's going to have to show up on the practice field and show that he still has that fight in him, still has that ability and get after it and be a great teammate, and hopefully he can still show that he's got something.
Well, what's crazy about it is all along we kept saying edge rusher opposite Hutch, edge rusher opposite Hutch. So, and it's not like, you know, we're some elite football minds. Everybody knows it. He's not been able to crack the lineup. It's almost as if, look, the opportunity has been there. He just can't get himself on the field.
Well, and he got lapped by Ukwu. So Ukwu was activated. Well, now with Hutch out, they're going to need another guy. So is it going to be Houston, or is he going to get lapped again by Agudé? Is that what's going to happen? We'll see. And maybe the Lions bring somebody in. They signed some free agents last week to the practice squad.
The second half of 2022 was so tantalizing.
So tantalizing.
And I feel like they're hanging on, just hoping he can tap into something that he had there. But it's strange how he can't see the field.
Well, and obviously he had the injury last year, and it was a broken ankle, and came back at the end of the season. And I mean, is it attributable to that, or is he just not the same player? Or do teams figure out how he's a one trick pony, and they figured out how to block him?
Speed rusher, and if that's all you can do, there's an antidote to that. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.